I thank you that we can be here together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this week. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your love, Lord, that you've poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that that is our life, the life you've given us, the love that is in our hearts. Pray, Holy Spirit, this morning, that you will reveal the word to us. Make it plain as to children, that we will understand in such a way that we can live it. Ask it in Jesus' name. Kijk nou op haar stoel daar achter. Okay, so it's the third time now that we are doing God, the one showing mercy. So we in Romans 9, but I just feel the Holy Spirit wanting us to just stick with this passage a little bit. I had a dream last night. I think it was about 1 o'clock this morning. A vivid dream. It was in two parts. And the first part was a hostage situation. It was young women that were in a house, a double-story house. The captives, there's a few of them, four or five of them. And the Lord just put me in the middle of that situation. And it was chaos. And it was bullets flying. And at the end, it was a good outcome. None of the women were hurt. And the captives didn't make it. But in the middle of that dream, the Lord showed me a person that's in my family. And it's not about him, it's what came out of my mouth. I said to him, this is a black, so I was trying, there was more women that was coming. They were like drawn, like moths to a flame. They were drawn to this house. And I stopped them and said, they must go away. And they listened. And this guy said to me, this family member, you are making it more dangerous for everybody. And I said to him in the dream, and I can still feel those words coming out of my mouth, there's black and there's white, and there's nothing else. And that was the one part. The other part, I was taken into a room, and there was a man sitting there on a chair, and he was busy studying the Bible. He had actually two Bibles open. I could see the markings in the Bible. And the words that came out of his mouth was, I have no dementia. So also a chaotic situation. But in that, he was looking at God as the just one. And if you don't understand what this chapter is about, it's about God that is just. And we are in a world that is chaotic. From day to day, just what we spoke about this morning, a few conversations we had this morning, you can hear how chaotic this world is. But there's one constant in this world, and that is that God is just. And if I can give a title to this chapter, it will be that God is just. And because He is just, He is merciful to sinners and to believers and unbelievers. We were first of all sinners before God drew us to Him. And we believed in Jesus Christ. The moment we believed in Jesus Christ, think about that cross, the cross of Christ. God at the above, God on top, man at the bottom. The moment we believed in Jesus Christ, peace was established between God and man. And the horizontal beam is the works. So we either have the works of the flesh on the one side, or we have the works of the Spirit. That's the horizontal being. And what makes the difference is Galatians 5:16, is that the flesh, our flesh, stands against the Spirit. against the Holy Spirit. What is our flesh? Our flesh is that part of us that was created in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, when God created man. Our flesh was perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. It was perfect when it was created. But the moment it became disobedient, the moment it rebelled, it turned into flesh that doesn't want to comply with God and with His kingdom. So our flesh is constantly in rebellion against God. And we must realize this. The moment you wake up in the morning, you must realize you have an enemy. And before Satan, it is your flesh. Satan uses our flesh to turn us away from God's ways. We spoke about Psalm 1, the very first psalm of the prayer book. He talks about two ways. It's the way of God, and it's our own selfish ways. And our own selfish ways is governed by the flesh, where God's way is governed by the Spirit, capital S. The capital S Spirit, He uses our spirit man, and He leads us on God's way. It's only in God's way that we find God's righteousness. The other way is our own righteousness. We also call it works righteousness. You can see in the Christian religion and many religions over the world, it is based on works. Righteousness is based on works. It's not so with believers. With believers, works have happened 2,000 years ago. Works is completed. Jesus said, "It is done. It is fulfilled." When He hung on that cross, He said, "It's completed." That's when works stopped. So what we have now is John 15, where we abide in Jesus Christ. And as we abide, that sap flows from Him, from the vine, into the branches, and fruit is formed. That's Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit. Can you see it takes no effort from you for that fruit to form? Except that many Christians and Buddhists and Hindus, they want to do stuff for righteousness to increase. So when we start doing that, when we want to do stuff to increase righteousness, you've got to know that according to Galatians, Paul says, this is a different gospel that you're living. This is not the original gospel that I preached to you. This is a different gospel. Because now you want to add works to the cross, where the cross has completed all works. So we abide in the cross, we abide in Jesus, and then fruit flows from that. You guys have that. So let's look again at some, I can just go through the slides here. So we look a little bit at Romans 9, Genesis 25, Malachi 1. We're going to focus on God's word. And it starts with it. Romans 9 verse 6. This is the modern King James Version. "Not, however, that the word of God has failed." So this is an important statement, because the Jews are trying to convince Paul that whether the gospel that he's preaching to them, the word of God has failed. The word that Moses received on that mountain has failed. The word that the prophets said, the minor and the major prophets in the Old Testament, that word has failed. Because the argument is that because they are Israel, they are righteous. Because they were born from Abram, they are righteous. And I'm going to read the verses now. Paul is countering these arguments of them and saying that is not the way you become righteous. That is self-righteousness that you are talking about. So this, even though this is old scriptures, going all the way back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, it applies so much to us today. Because we've got to recognize every day what is flesh in us and what is spirit. The moment you see that you are doing stuff and you want to be recognized for that stuff, there needs to go alarm bells off. You've got to recognize this is not spirit. If I want to be recognized, and if I want to receive compensation for stuff I do, Christian stuff, it is not spirit, it is flesh. Not, however, that the word of God has failed, for not all those of Israel are Israel. Is it projecting there? Nor because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall your seed be called. We know that that capital S is Jesus Christ. In Isaac shall your seed be called. The seed was not called in Ishmael. He was a child of the flesh. He was a child of impatience. They didn't want to wait for the promise of God, so they became impatient and they had a child before Isaac. That is not the children of the flesh or children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for a seed. So we know the children of the promise is Isaac. He was a child of the promise. For this is the word of promise. So remember, if we talk about the word of promise, we go back to that very first word that I marked in green. The word of God has failed. So the word of promise is connected to the word of God right in the beginning there. So you must see the context. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by our father Isaac, for the children had not yet been born, neither had done any good or evil, but that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who called. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. So you must understand that God is sovereign. What does that mean? God knows everything about everybody. He knew before time. He loved us before time. He knew us before time. He knows every decision we have made, is making, and is going to make. He knows everything. So he's sovereign. And this verse is saying, even before they were born, we're talking now about Jacob and Esau, before they were born, he already knew what was going to happen with them. So he said, the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him who called. We spoke about works just now. It's not about our works, it's about him that is calling. We abide in him. He is the one calling, we abide in him, that produces fruit. It's not our works that is connected to the calling. God is not calling us because of our works. He calls us because he's God. He is just a just God. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. So the elder in this story is Esau. So we're talking about twins. Jacob, Esau came out first out of Rebekah. And grabbing onto his heel was Jacob. They call him the heel catcher. Jacob means heel catcher. He held onto his heel. But he was born second. He was the younger. We've got a twin in this church. And you mustn't tell the elder one that she's the younger one. It's not acceptable. Even though she was born a few seconds before the other one, don't tell her she's the younger one. I'm not going to name names now, but you know whom I'm talking about. I sometimes tease her when I introduce them to people, because I know the difference between the two, but it's not easy to see. I recognize their personality. So I would say, so this is this one, and she is the younger one. And then she would look at me and say, no. But so the elder shall serve the younger. God knew this beforehand. And there was a promise that he made to Rebekah. So if I go to the next slide. Genesis 25, verse 21. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah his wife conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is thus, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." So the two nations inside of her was Israel and Edom. Edom came of Esau, and Israel came of Jacob. And there God gave further promise. When she asked him, "Why is there fighting inside of me?" He said, "It's two nations. Today we have the Arabs, and we've got the Israelites, the Jews and the Arabs. And you've got about 400 million Arabs. That's how strong Edom has become." And God's doing amazing work in the Middle Eastern countries. We've got a friend that we met about 2 years ago in Artembos. And he's in charge of about, at the time, 230 families that is ministering to 400 million Arabs. And they're using social media to minister to them. It's amazing the strategy that God has given them. And Arabs are coming to the Lord. So the older shall serve the younger. So that's where that promise came from. Romans 9 verse 13. So you must understand, when we say the word of God, when Paul is saying the word of God has not failed, he's taking it back to a promise that was given 4,000 years ago, from today about 5,000 years ago, at the time about 3,000 years. He's taking it back all the way to Abraham or Rebekah, when God promised to her, "This is how it shall be." And he's bringing it all the back now to the Romans 9 context. So let's carry on to verse 13. "As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then?" So this is an amazing range of emotions. You have extreme love on the other side, and you've got extreme hatred or lack of love on the other side. And I want you to see in that, when you start the day, that's how God feels about your flesh and your spirit. When we look, I think it's Galatians 5:16. We can maybe look at that scripture. It is so critical to understand what we are dealing with every day. Because we don't always know, why do we do the things we don't want to do? And the things we want to do, we don't do them. Galatians 5:16. Let me just see if it's this verse. No, it's the next one. But we can read 16 as well. Galatians 5:16 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." That S is capital S. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So when I did sumo wrestling about, I think it was 2 years ago at the Pastor Summit on the beach, me and another young guy, we stood against, we had these big suits on, making as if we were sumo wrestlers. So they blow you up like double your size. And you stand against one another like that. So that's the picture you must have in this verse, Galatians 5:17. You have your flesh here, small f, and you have the Spirit here, big S, Holy Spirit. That's how you start your day, like that. You determine your free will that God has given you. Determine if the flesh is going to win that day, or if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Can you believe that your flesh can be stronger than the Holy Spirit? It's inconceivable. But that's the power God has given to our free will. We choose, we reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. And when you are dead, when you are in the grave, look at anybody now that dies. They're in the grave, they can't sin. their body is dead. Jesus has done that for us. He says, when you believe in Christ, think about that cross again. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the moment you believe in Him, you are baptized. Romans 6, you are baptized into Christ. And suddenly now you are in His grave. You're on that cross, you're in the grave, you're resurrected and with Him on the right hand of God. That's what baptism means. You're in Him now. Everything you do now is in Him. Therefore, sin can't touch you. Because sin tries to attack your old man. It tries to attack the flesh. But the flesh is dead in Christ. It shouldn't operate. But when you choose for it to operate, it's still there. But if you choose for flesh to operate, it will. And sin will still happen through the flesh. But He's encouraging us to choose the Holy Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. When we go to Romans 8, it tells us how to walk in the Spirit. Romans 8. The whole chapter of Romans 8 is about walking in the Spirit. But He makes it so practical. He says, I don't want to read the whole chapter. Verse 5, Romans 8 verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's how simple it is. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. We decide. What are we going to do with this day? What are we going to allow inside our mind? The thoughts that's going through our mind. Is it going to be on the flesh, the things of this world? Or is it going to be on the things of the Spirit? The things of heaven, good things. Or is it going to be on bad things? The things of this world, whatever makes this world go round, the celebrities of this world, the sportsmen of this world, whatever is trending on social media, are we going to be busy with that all the time? Or are we going to be busy with this book? Because this book is like food that we eat. As we meditate on it, it feeds our spirit man. It makes us stronger in the spirit. So Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there not unrighteousness with God? Let it not be. It's impossible. Because God is righteousness. He is just. Whatever He does is righteous. Whatever He decides is righteous. He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I think last time we spoke about the context of Moses when God said this. God wanted to destroy them because they went, when Moses spent 40 days with God on the mountain, they went and they built a God for themselves, which they called the same name as God, Yahweh. So they were trying to control God in a form that was comfortable to them. Sometimes we do it with church. We do church on a Sunday or on Christmas or on Easter. And for us, that is church. We try and put God in a box. You see it worldwide. Big religions worldwide, Christian religions. You do it worldwide. And we make these ticks. And then we say, okay, now we've got this figured out. We sorted it. But God is a God of fire. They were afraid of Him because of whoever touched that mountain, whether it was man or animal, died immediately. So they, because they were afraid of God, they wanted to build themselves this image of God, this Yahweh. And when Moses came down, he was so angry, he broke those tables. And then he went up again to God, and God said, I wanted to want to destroy them. But what we sometimes miss is because Moses says these words, he says, God, rather take my name out of the book of remembrance and put their names in there. Can you believe a man of valor that will do something like that? Paul also did that. Paul in Romans 9 says, I experienced this pain for my brothers and sisters, my fellow Jews. And I want God, rather take my name out of the book. There he calls it the book of life. Take my name out of the book of life. Put their names in there. It's not like God will do it, but it's just a heart of love. And who is activating that heart of love? It is a God of mercy. There's a God of mercy that is behind Moses, behind Paul, behind us, that will activate our hearts for people around us. That feeling that you feel for somebody on the street, there was a lady stopping here during the week, and she was dressed nicely and she looked well, and she just asked me for a cup of coffee and a prayer. And my heart so went out for her. It is not me that is merciful. There's a God of mercy behind me, working through me and connecting with her. And even if it's for 5 or 10 minutes, but engaging with her, wherever she is, and she can feel God coming into her world, even though it's a broken world that she are experiencing. She's been for years on the street, but God is protecting her. So, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I want you also to see here, God's sovereignty. I will have mercy. God is God, we're not God. He is God, he is way above us. His ways is above us, his thoughts is above us. And he says, I will have mercy. Why? Because he's got the full context. He understands everybody's context all over the world. Therefore, he can have mercy on who he will have mercy. So then it is not of the one willing, nor of the one running, but of God, the one showing mercy. This is so critical that we understand there's nothing we can do to engage God by running or willing. You know, this world is built around the fallen will of man. Since the Garden of Eden, the whole world has been built. Look at that Tower of Babel. We will do this together, until God came and he chopped it down and he gave them different languages and he forced them not to be able to do it. But still today, when that towers fell, the Twin Towers fell, the president came up and the mayor of New York came up, we will rebuild. That is the flesh of man. It's not God, we trust in God that he will rebuild. No, we will rebuild. It will be better than before. That is just what is, we are hardwired like that. And the only thing that can change us is the mercy of God. Malachi, I have loved you. This is where that promise comes from. Remember what we just read? That Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. It comes from Malachi. Again, the word of God that will not fail. I've loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother? Meaning they're on the same level. They're brothers. The one is not better or higher than the other. Declares the Lord, yet I've loved Jacob, but Esau I've hated. I've laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, Edom is just another way for Esau, Edom became the nation of the Esau, the nation that came out of Esau is called Edom. If Edom says we are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins. You see the will of the flesh there. We will rebuild the ruins. The Lord of hosts said, they may build, but I will tear down. They will be called the wicked country, and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. God gets angry with sin. He gets angry with flesh. We need to understand that. It's not so much the people as those that are governed by the flesh. God hates that. Because that comes from the enemy. That comes from the rebellious nature of Satan. That's why he rebelled in heaven, because of that. So, the last few verses of Romans 9. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. That is a righteousness that is by faith. That is what we started with, remember? When the cross of Christ, It starts with the righteousness that is by faith. We believe in the Lord Jesus. He gives us peace. He gives us access to God. And He gives us joy. Even though there is sufferings, He gives us joy in the sufferings. And more than everything in the gospel, He gives us this righteousness of Him. But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. You see, it was self-righteousness. It was based on works. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. Who is the stumbling stone? Stumbling stone is Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone. As it is written, "Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." So this is the simple message this morning. There is a God of mercy. He wants us to walk in His righteousness. Not by our will, not by us running or forcing it. He just wants us to receive that gift of righteousness. And those that do not do that, there is a stumbling stone. That stumbling stone is not the devil. That stumbling stone is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ stands for the glory of God the Father. And what He stands for is the righteousness of God. It is against the righteousness of flesh, or the works righteousness, or self-righteousness. You guys understand that? Okay, that's simple enough. Now I'm going to pray for us. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You that You make it easy for us by Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that Your word explains itself. The Bible explains the Bible. So we thank You, Lord, that You teach us, and that we can hold each other accountable by Your word, in Jesus' name.